I feel like I've been to church today. For those of you who may not have been here on a regular basis, I started back in the spring and then sort of dropped away from it over the summer. A series in the Gospel of John, and then we picked it up again a few weeks ago. John is a remarkable book. It really is. It's a book that is often recommended as the place to start reading if you're new to the Bible. The Gospel of John is straightforward. It's easy to understand. And it gives us a clear picture of who Jesus is and why He came. I think one of the things that I really appreciate about John so much is it's relational. We see Jesus dealing with people, encountering people, and meeting them at their point of need. He talks very specific into people's lives. And even though it was 2,000 years ago, so very often what He has to say relates to where we are today. The purpose John had in writing the Gospel, and I've repeated it every Sunday, I want you to be sure that this is firmly embedded in your memory. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. That's what it's all about. That's why he wrote the book. It's to affirm the things that we stand on, affirm the things that we believe, and that in Him we find life in its absolute abundance. A few weeks ago I mentioned that we need to pay special attention whenever a word is repeated. And for those of you who have done precepts, this is something that they highlight very often. When we look at the book of John, the word light is repeated 15 times. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then in John 9, 4 and 5, he said, as long as it's day, you must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. The reality is, my friends, is simply this. We have a narrow allotment of time to accomplish the things that God has enabled and empowered us to do. It's not time to rally the troops. It's not time to circle the wagons. It's not time to kind of shrink back. It's not time to take a defensive position and say, oh, look at the world. Isn't it terrible what's going on? No. This is a time of opportunity that God has given us. We are representatives of the light of the world, and let His light shine through us into a world that has pervasive darkness all around it. I believe that the only answer for our world today is found in Jesus Christ. While there is light, we are called to be children of the light. It's something that we can neither afford to neglect or ignore. There is work that we must do. There's work that we must recognize. And if we don't, and here's the harsh reality, I realize I'm jumping way into this sermon quickly. But if we don't, there will come a day when we will give an account for our lives, and when we stand before Him in judgment, how are we going to rationalize the things that we've neglected to do? Well, I'm in the world. I'm the light of the world. And God calls us to a higher standard. This morning, I want to move forward into John 10. We're going to spend at least a couple weeks looking at what Jesus is telling us in this chapter. Now, I'm not sure if I'm going to continue next week because it is Thanksgiving. I haven't decided yet. But beginning in John 10, this is what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by his name and leads them out. When he was brought out of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate of the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in its full. And John said, I'm writing this book that you might have life in his name. It's all about life. It's all about living life to its full. And Jesus begins this chapter with key words. Opens, enters, leads, listens, and calls. And this morning I want to dig just a little deeper into verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. When we are identified as belonging to Christ, we are dependent on a change that he made in our lives. That makes sense, doesn't it? When I'm a follower of Christ, I'm dependent on a change that he made. When did he make it? And we've all heard testimonies that sometime, maybe 5, 10, maybe 30, maybe 40 years ago, Jesus forgave me and entered into my life. Great. Great. That's awesome. But that was then. And certainly you're grateful for it. You have a testimony. You have a mark that you made. And there was a time when you were once over here. You were in sin. And now you're over here and you're redeemed. And you know the freedom of your redemption. That's great. But the question I want to pose to you is this. What defines you today? You see, I think that's the first part of this verse 4. When he has brought out all his own. When he has brought you out. When he has identified you as his own. When you bowed your knee before him. When you came before a bloodstained cross and said, Lord, forgive me. I need to be forgiven. I need you to be my Redeemer, my Savior, my Lord. But when he brought out all his own. But there's three parts to this. And the second part is this. He goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him. There's movement. You see, I can't settle for what took place 5, 10, 15, 20, 40, or in my case, a little more than 40 years ago. I can't settle on that. Okay, because there's movement. There's something that has to happen between then and now. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. If we make a claim to be a follower, okay, that claim of movement in Christ, and we are able to say with absolute certainty that, yes, I follow Jesus, I am a Christian, I am born again, is there evidence in my life today to substantiate my claim? Now that kind of gets a little tight around the collar sometimes. You see, back then, something happened. But what is there in my life today to substantiate who I am and what I claim to be? Am I a follower? He goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him. And the thing I want to explore is this. Being a follower is more than simply being a student of his teaching. It's more than just coming to church or being in a Bible study or engaging in the Word. And I'm not saying that all those things aren't important. But being a follower goes beyond that. It involves forward movement. It involves moving forward. Can you honestly say that you are different today than you were last year? Has there been changes in your life that you see Jesus is doing something new and fresh? Challenging. Yes, challenging. But is He doing something new and fresh in your life? If there isn't, then the sad reality is there's something disconnected. I make a claim. I have the head knowledge, but and I may actually have a deeper understanding and knowledge of the Word, but where's the movement? What's going on? You see, claiming Christ as your Savior does not give us the privilege of standing still. There has to be consistent movement. And we either are moving in one direction or another. But you will never stand still in this claim of following Christ. As a church, we are determined to help people grow in their relationship with Jesus. Absolutely. No question. We are determined that people will become more and more like Him. Being real, being personal with each other. In a lot of ways, that's what the small group movement is all about that Jan was talking about. It's moving beyond Sunday. It's developing deeper relationships with each other under the banner of His love. I want to encourage you to talk to Jan. Get involved in one of these small groups. Explore what it means. I believe that in our membership class, we mentioned this. Our church must always grow larger and smaller at the same time. The church must continually expand and grow in numbers. If we're not, then we're not engaging the community the way God intends for us to engage the community. But in the larger corporate setting, it's very difficult to have those intimate interpersonal relationships. So therefore, as we grow larger, we've got to grow smaller. And that's what the small movement thing is all about. And then the third part of this verse is they know His voice. They know His voice. How do we determine what is real and what's counterfeit? His sheep know His voice. They recognize His voice. Discernment takes place. They spend time with Him. They come before Him. They listen. They do more than just talk. They do more than just pray. They listen. They listen to His voice. They study what He taught. They understand it. They dig deeper into it. And then, they live it out. You see, it's not just a matter of growing in knowledge. That's what happens up here. But it's this heart connection. It's moving those 18 inches or so south into the heart and living it out. That's what being a follower is all about. In other words, our church must know God and glorify Him and make Him known. It's key, it's fundamental to who we are as followers of Christ. To glorify Him. And we glorify Him, why? How? By telling somebody else the good news, that thing that I encountered, that thing that I embraced 40 some odd years ago. Surrendering to Him. Jesus said, they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from Him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. How well do you recognize the voice of Father? How well do you know Him? I see all kinds of people following different voices. It troubles me. It really does. I go to a market or someplace and I see somebody following a voice that is so far away from my Father. How well do you know His voice? Some are listening to the voice of reason instead of the voice of holiness. Some are listening to voices of emotion and feeling, and they get carried away into a delusion of looking for some kind of sensational experience rather than the truth of God. We've got to be so careful. We've got to be so careful. Because whatever we feel, whatever we know, whatever the emotion is that wells up within us, if it does not align with biblical truth, run as far and fast away from it as you can. It's fundamental to who we are as followers of Christ in following and then making Him known. You see, it's not just about me, but it's about the way we engage the world around us. And I'm not saying that we have to be preachers. As a matter of fact, that probably will turn a lot of people off. But it's living lives of integrity. Living lives that align with who we claim to be, day in and day out. Bible study is not simply about a collection of more knowledge. It's about discerning the voice of Father and knowing Him. And in hearing His voice, it's not simply knowing God and what He expects of us, but it's how we do what Jesus told us to do. How we go about it. Obedience to His Word is the outflow of a transformed heart. Anybody say amen at all? Let me repeat that. Or maybe that's just kind of tough. Obedience to His Word is the outflow of a transformed heart. I see some, good. We're getting there. You want to throw gasoline on me, you just shout amen a few times and look out. Jesus gave us this contrast. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Living under the authority of the enemy robs us of life. It leaves us in misery, in hopelessness, and despair. We're unsure of ourselves. We're unsure of our future. But when we recognize His voice, when we follow Him in love and relationship, life changes. We're no longer who we used to be. We're unwilling to settle for that same old. We're changed. Listening to His voice and following Him not only defines who we are, but it also determines what we do. It's both. I've heard people say, all I need is the Spirit. Just give me the Spirit. Give me the Spirit of God. Give me the Holy Spirit. I want to simply sit at the feet of Jesus. Don't bother me with the troubles of the world. It sounds great, but this is all that God wants of me. I just want the Spirit. Sounds great. But we cannot ignore the simple fact that Jesus, who was the Spirit, engaged people and got messy and dirty in people's lives. So it's more than just the Spirit. Yes, we go under the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But at the same time, we need to engage a world that needs to know Him. Jesus gave His disciples marching orders. He talked to the 11. And it wasn't good for them to just sit around. Matthew 28. When He came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and on earth is given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, it isn't simply good enough to just come to church. We have to be the church. We have to be the church. The church isn't made up of concrete or paint or gyprock or some, whatever. It's made up of us. It is who we are. And we need to grow continually. We need to grow in our wisdom and knowledge of who Christ is. But when we are the church and when we listen to His voice, our community changes as well. And what an awesome change it can make. Jesus said in Matthew, "Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited Me in. I needed clothes and you clothed Me. I was sick and you looked after Me. I was in prison and you came to visit Me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when do we see you hungry? When do we feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or in need of clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The King will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whenever you did for Me, for one of the least of these My brothers of Mine, you did for Me.'" Wow. Wow, that's it in a nutshell. If you've ever thought that life is kind of routine, it's a bit predictable, it's maybe even boring, then you know something? You are not experiencing the fullness of life that Jesus offers. You're not. Because this life should be anything but boring. Life in Christ is about being challenged. It's about changing. It's about that following thing, that movement, that forward movement into who He would have me become. And changing the people that we encounter along the way. That's what He's talking about. When we listen to the voice of Christ, when we are determined to follow Him, nothing ever stays the same. Ever. Jesus took 11 guys, uneducated, rough. They were not leaders. They weren't even recognized. They would have no place in history whatsoever. He added Paul to the mix, and He used the 12 to not only change the world, but He changed history. What can He do with the 100 and however many we are here today? What can He do with us? He is not willing to let us settle for mediocrity. If you're truly following Him, if you're truly hearing His voice, when we look at the world around us, there should be a restlessness stirring up within us. A restlessness that is exciting and scary. A restlessness that will launch us into a future that's absolutely awesome. What are God's intentions for us? What is it? When these things happen, we see the fulfillment of what Jesus said in verse 10, "The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." Are you experiencing the fullness of life today? What is that thing?
What is that thing that just wells up within you that you need to change? You need to see changed. What is that thing? What is God's intention for Peace River, for this valley? And how is He going to use us? And don't get me wrong, we do not have the end say. There are other churches that are presenting Jesus the same way in this community. We can't do it all. We can't do it alone. We don't go it alone. But God has got so much more for us to do as well. His voice. His sheep hear His voice and follow. Would you just bow in prayer with me, please? Father, challenge me today, Lord, to listen so closely to Your voice. Father, help me to follow You, Lord, that Your dust sticks to me. Father, show me Your ways. Lord, show me those things that You have enabled me to do, each one of us to do, Lord, that only we can do. Father, help us to be game changers in our community. Lord, there is so much need, there is so much hurt, there is so much pain. Father, help us to present Jesus in the center of it. Lord, we ask this in the precious and holy and powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you.